Continuing with our teachings on the deeper life, the overcoming life, and we're quite encouraged by this because as we're going over some of these principles, we're realizing that, you know, we're going deeper with this, and we are hearing things that maybe we hadn't properly heard before, or maybe we were not yet quite in that place. And this is why God goes over these things with us, because he wants us to be fully nourished in his word. He wants us to know the truth, because by knowing the truth sets us free. It is a great deliverance in our lives. And this is why the Lord, I believe, is doing this while he still tarries. Praise his name. But today I want to address the area of prayer in our walk. And I have a title for this teaching: Overcomers Learn to Pray. Overcomers Learn to Pray. And this could be one of the weak areas in a lot of our lives and walk. And this could probably answer some of the questions and the reasons why it is we have not grown and matured in the faith as we should, because we are either running away or we're neglecting the area of prayer. Not only prayer individually, but prayer also corporately as a church. You see, an overcomer will see the importance and the key to this walk, which is prayer. Let's make no bones about this. You will go as far as an overcomer can go unless you are prepared to pray and intercede. You will not come in to the fullness that an overcomer is to experience in these last days through the baptism and the empowerment of the Spirit. Let us just remind ourselves of some scriptures which we know very well. Let's just turn again to Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. Remember that the disciples walking with Jesus were beginning to ask questions. They were beginning to find out what it was, how it was that he walked like he did, overcame like he did, and the miracles that were wrought through him. It was raising many questions in their mind. And God does the same with us. As we start to walk with him, as we start to fellowship one with another, we begin to raise questions because we see things happening. And we want to find out how and why these things are happening. We may even equate ourselves, well, I see this happening in this brother or this sister, but why is it not happening in my life? And these are the sort of questions that the disciples were asking themselves as well. And we note here, and it says here in Luke 11 and verse 1, "Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.'" And then, of course, Jesus gives the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer. And I'm not going into that because you know that and you've read it many, many times. But they see something and they ask the Lord, "Teach us to pray." They're not coming to the Lord and saying, "Lord, is it because you pray that your ministry is blessed like it is?" They've already established that one in their mind and thinking. What they're asking now is the next thing. We know it's prayer, but teach us how to pray. And you know that there are many believers don't even pass that first test. There are still many believers who profess Christ who still cannot understand why ministries are so blessed, so anointed, or they still cannot understand why it is they're not overcoming in things and areas of their life because they haven't even come to that place, Lord, teach me how to pray. And you need to come to that place. Now, whatever it takes in your life for God to do that, that is the mercy and grace of God. But the sad fact is that there are some who have not even yet come to that place, Lord, teach me to pray. Lord, work with me that I may have this prayer life that is pleasing and acceptable and that glorifies your name. This is the tragedy in the house of God. We have so many who like to correct people, who like to give them scriptures and so forth, and yet they fall so short in their prayer life, because it is a prayer life that changes us. It is a prayer life that changes these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. It is a prayer life that brings us into a living reality and relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet so few even pass that first test. But here we have it, the disciples, they are seeing something. God is getting their attention. They are beginning to bow the knee. They're beginning to humble themselves. And they're raising this question, Lord, teach us to pray. Because we have seen something. We've seen what you do. And we see as a result of what you do, the blessings that come from it. Wish to God more Christians could see this. Because this is one of the basic requirements of an overcomer, is that we are taught how to pray by the Holy Spirit. Because we will never pray, we will never know how to pray, unless we ask that question of God, teach me to pray. You may say to me, oh, but I do pray. I pray for 20 minutes every day. I pray in the morning 20 minutes and I pray 20 minutes in the evening before I close my eyes and go to sleep. Those prayers, sadly, may never go any higher than the ceiling because you have never asked God to teach you to pray. This is why he said he will come back and he will lead us and guide us and teach us into all truth. And an overcomer is one who asks of God. An overcomer is one who sees things, whether it be in their own life, or they see it in other people, or in the church where they are, and it raises questions, it raises challenges. It causes you to have to reevaluate and think. My life is not where it should be because I'm not a man or a woman who prays. Maybe your prayer life only consists every time we come together in a meeting. And that's the only time that you pray. Brothers and sisters, that is not enough. It is certainly not enough if you want to be an overcomer, because that is what we're teaching. That is what we're addressing again. This is what we're going over again for as long as the Lord leads the overcoming teaching and principles. And it doesn't take long for us in these teachings to go to some of the root problems as to why our lives don't change, the church doesn't change, or we move forward as we should, because we fall so badly in the area of prayer. Most churches today fall because they're not praying churches. They have never asked God to teach them how to pray, how to intercede, how to supplicate, how to war in the Spirit. You have to be taught by the Holy Spirit how to do these things, because these are the requirements that a Christian should enter into. And yet most fall short of this. Are we falling short of it in full gospel assembly? Let none of us hopefully fall into that trap. Well, no way. How could you possibly fall into a trap if you belong to FGA? Impossible. Or you've already missed it if that's your view and your understanding. God would not be speaking like this. He would not be addressing this issue to FGA if it's still not a problem. And I think, sadly, it is. And so here it is as we start. Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. We forget that one, don't we? That John, the great prophet, he also was teaching those that repented and were baptized. He was teaching them also to pray. Prayer has to be taught in the house of God. There is not much teaching today with regard to prayer. There's a lot of teaching about faith and walking and obedience and so forth, and all of that has its place, but it falls very short in teaching about prayer. I'm talking about real prayer, prayer intercession, supplication, warfare and so forth, which again we're going to go over maybe the next few weeks, how long this teaching takes. But an overcomer will see the importance and the key to this walk, which is prayer. The overcomer also, their life will only be possible to be an overcomer, that is, if they have a prayer life. You cannot be an overcomer if you don't have your own prayer life. Let's also look to Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called his disciples himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. So here again, we get clues, understanding to Jesus' ministry and anointing. The Holy Spirit here leads him to pray. And not only to pray, but this praying is praying right through the whole night. And there is a reason for that, because we see in the next verses the result of that praying and why that praying was important. Because those 12 apostles were to be chosen to be part of the foundation of the Christian church. And that required obedience from our Lord and Saviour. And he was not only, of course, a man of prayer, but that required prayer pressing in by the Spirit right through the whole night for that to be accomplished. Do you think that would have been accomplished otherwise? Why, it would have not, because the powers of darkness would have stopped it. And much of our praying and intercession is pushing back the powers of darkness. I would say that 75-80% of your prayer life is warfare in the spirit, particularly now in these last days that we live. And yet most are asleep to this and wonder why the powers of darkness are taking over like they are, and sadly in the Christian churches. Now, if Jesus prayed through the night, Why do we think it's different for us? Maybe how much more do we at times need to yield to the Spirit and to pray through the night as the Lord leads? I remember reading a book years ago, Why Prayer Through the Night is More Popular Than Prayer Right Through the Day. And the writer said it's because most of the demons are not so active in that sense through the night. Now, the powers of darkness, of course, are, but people in the West where you live, or what area you live, they're all then asleep. And I thought that made a lot of sense, because demonic activity also works through human beings. If you don't know that one, then go out into that wide world and you listen to the conversations and you look at the actions of people and what they do and what they get on. Most of that is influenced by demonic forces. And that made a lot of sense to me. But if God required Jesus to pray through the night, then he may require of it at us. And we have at times as a body prayed and intercede through the night. This is what characterizes an overcomer. An overcomer is one who is humble and teachable and is always asking God, teach me more about prayer. You see, it doesn't stop. Prayer and learning about prayer doesn't stop even by this teaching today. And brothers and sisters, I just want to say in passing, don't start to increase your prayer life after this teaching, because it won't last. The only way your prayer life will change is, yes, by hearing the word and hearing this word today, but then going before God and say, Lord, whatever it takes in my life, not because I've just heard this message today, but make me a man or a woman of prayer. Work this in me, so that it's not by my emotions and feelings, because they've been stirred up. I've listened to anointed teaching today. That's not how you grow. That's where most miss teaching. This is why the seed cannot be sown in the hearts of people, because they've simply been emotionally stirred up by the teaching they've heard today. And sadly, that goes on in FGA. And that's why you're not growing. You will only grow by when you take the teaching before God and you are going to pray before God, Lord, the emotions and the feelings that I've had over this teaching today, I know is not going to last. I am going to face reality probably tomorrow or the end of the week, but that word that I've heard, make it live, make it real in my life. And whatever it takes. That is how you grow, brothers and sisters. We're still trying to grow in the faith by our feelings and our emotions. And particularly when we've had a good meeting, or it's been the stirring word and it's had my name and address on it, you don't grow by that. Go back to the parable of the sower, one of the greatest parables Jesus gave. You grow by being real before God. You grow because it's not about emotions. It's not about feelings. It's about truth. It's about life. It's about eternity. It's taking it real. You know, God has a way of bringing all of us to the end of feelings and emotions. Finally, one day, the penny drops, because these feelings, these emotions have done nothing for me. They have not caused me to grow as a Christian. because faith doesn't need feelings or emotions. Now, we may have them because we are emotional creatures. Of course we are. But we are not governed by our emotions. We're governed by our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his faithfulness. So that is how you're going to grow today, brothers and sisters, by this word which we're hearing. That is indeed if we want to hear it, and we have a free choice. And remember, our teaching today is overcomers learn to pray, because this is the key to the deeper life. This is the key to overcoming. This is the key for everything that the deeper life requires, as well as the cross in our lives. Some of us still don't understand the cross. We know it in teaching. We read it in the scriptures. But we're not seeing it in our lives. And the problem is because prayer is not backing it up. The same as everything else. It's not rocket science. It's not, you know, searching or going on a 40-day fast to find out God's will. Very often, it's staring us in our baby blues. What God is trying to say and getting our attention. And so Jesus here, he continued to pray all night because that is what was required by his heavenly Father for him to have that discernment to see and to choose those 12 apostles. And remember, even one of those was a thief, a betrayer. But that is what it required. And if it was required of Jesus, it is also required of us. Now, to the length of prayer, intercession, that is how God leads. You have to be led by the Holy Spirit. Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit in which to do this. And yet, when we say that, to be led by the Holy Spirit, don't let's also use that as an excuse. Well, I haven't been led. It may be that you haven't been led because in your heart you don't really want to. And we use that as an excuse. And God won't have that any longer with us. What we should be saying, Lord, have mercy on me. Forgive me that I haven't yet, all these years, prayed right through the night. Have your way in my life. That's what God wants to hear from us. And you watch, the Holy Spirit will begin to empower and to move on your behalf. These excuses finish. God isn't going to accept them any longer. God isn't going to accept, well, it's how the Holy Spirit leads. Of course, it is how the Holy Spirit leads. But the question is, do you really want the Holy Spirit to lead you? That is the question. Because he'll always lead us in those areas that our flesh in the natural doesn't like and doesn't want. After all, who wants to pray right through the night? Most of us know what we do through the night. We sleep. So you see, that's what our flesh, our logic tells us straight away. But if we walk by the Spirit, and we worship God by the Spirit, and we obey him by the Spirit, something greater is in operation. And it is called the power of God that he gives on our behalf. And it is there in the Holy Spirit. It is there in the baptism of the Spirit. You don't need it. It is already there. You just haven't asked yet. This is why we ask amiss. This is why we're still asking for the wrong things. We need to ask for those things that lead toward the kingdom of God, his glory, his establishment upon the earth. If it isn't established first in the house of God and in the hearts of the believers, it will not be established on the earth. That is the divine principle and way God works. Restoration starts first in FGA and any other church that is going on in the overcoming life, as it will never be accomplished on the earth. It has to be birthed in the church. It has to be birthed in your life, my life, because the church is made up of people. This is why I'm saying that prayer intercession births it through. And when it is birthed through, then thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. The two are agreeing together. Heaven and earth, earth and heaven are in agreement. That is what prayer is about. And that is what an overcomer will see. That is the revelation that they have. My prayer life, both individually and corporately with my brothers and sisters, is that thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If it is not done in this church, it will be not settled in heaven. That's the key to it. How many of us are seeing this? We've walked for years, and yet we haven't probably passed the first test. Lord, teach me to pray. You know, God, in his love and grace and mercy, he knows how to go to the root of the problems. But he's long-suffering, he's merciful, he's patient with us, because he wants us to get it right. And by the grace and mercy of God, we will. Because we've come thus far. We've come all this way. Some of us 40 years. I don't believe he gives up on us now. But we do need to learn. We do need to knuckle down. We do need to yield to this. For time is so short. Don't become a foolish virgin. Because you're going to be left behind. This assembly, and I cannot speak for any others, but this assembly goes forward on the amount of prayer offered by the church. I'm talking about prayer which is led by the Holy Spirit. And this is probably one of the biggest sacrifices required of us, because it requires our time. It requires us appropriating our faith, coming in with clean hands and a pure heart into his presence in unity and oneness of faith. It requires consecration, discipleship. It requires a disciplined life, putting priorities first. That's one of the big problems. We're still allowing other things to get in the way of putting our priorities first. And Jesus knew where to address it. He addressed it right with the wife, the husband, the child, the aunt, the uncle, the next door neighbor, you name it. He knew exactly what the enemy uses to stop us putting first things first. It's what do we want at the end of the day? Let's turn to Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. I'm just using that, and again we see what comes as a result of that prayer. So long before light, everyone who's still asleep, he gets up in the early hours of the morning and he goes to pray. He's sensitive to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wakes him out of sleep. Have you ever had the Holy Spirit do that with you? With all due respect, if that does happen at times in your life, that's a sign you are growing with the Lord. That's a sign God, because you've asked business with him, he's having business with you. And he's saying, get up, pray. This is required. It's essential. Now you can either turn over and ignore it, or you can just say, Lord, help me. Help me to get up and get in prayer, intercession. I thank the Lord that he does this quite often with me. And the blessing that comes as a result of it, you can't put words into it. But I'm always aware it's God who's taken the initiative. He's taken the first step. It's up to me now whether I take that step and I meet him halfway in this. It's what you want, brothers and sisters. It's where your affections, your heart lies. That's the question in it every time. You see, the nature of prayer is it has to be kept up. You have to work on it. It has to be developed. It's the same as the gifts of the Spirit. The reason that the gifts of the Spirit probably are not manifesting or whatever it is because if you have a gift, you're not using it. The same as with natural gifts. You see it in the world. I've been given, praise God, a natural gift, the ability to be able to paint. And it brings a lot of pleasure. But I can't paint if I don't use that gift and exercise it and develop it. Well, how much more in the Spirit? We are to use and exercise these gifts that God gives to us. And prayer is also a gift. The same as salvation is a gift. The fruit of the Spirit that he's working in our lives is a gift. When we speak in tongues, that's a sign of a gift. I could just go on and on and on. He's given us life. That is a gift. And all of that has to be exercised and used. That's what life is about. And so it is the same with prayer. You have to keep at it. You have to work at it. You have to continue praying both in and out of season. There are times when you just don't feel your prayers are going above the ceiling. There are times when you don't feel like praying. In fact, I would say, how often do we feel like praying? Quite often. But are our feelings going to govern us and stop us? Or are we going to say, the cross that I take up daily and I follow, for I am crucified with Christ, is above feelings, is above my emotions, is above my unbelief, or what sort of day I've had? What are we going to let govern? Why, we're told in the scriptures, we take up our cross, what? Daily. It's an exercise. You have to work at it. You have to make yourself available for it, and the Holy Spirit will do the rest. But it doesn't just fall into your lap. And some of us have just sat back and we're just waiting for it to happen, to resurrect before us. And it won't. Relationship is about two people coming together, agreeing. Both parties take that step forward to each other. It doesn't work otherwise. Peter would have never known if he walked on the water unless he responded to the word come. And it's we're faced every day with hearing, if we want to hear, that word from our Lord and Saviour, come. But we don't want to hear it always, do we? Because that word come means that we can't do it in our own strength. We can't do it in our own ability. I am not in control of this. I don't like it because it goes beyond my logic, my intellect. It always will. That word come from the Lord Jesus Christ will always go against everything. It's got nothing to do with our feelings. It's even got nothing to do with us. It's to do about his glory. And all he asks of us is just obey. That is the greatest thing that we can do for our Heavenly Father, is to obey him. If you want to feel the Father's heart, that he's pleased towards you, and you can feel that, he grants you that, you'll get it always when you obey him. See, prayer has got to be worked on in order for it to develop, so that we can learn to grow, that we can learn more about prayer, so that our prayer life can take on a new dimension. It can take on a new reality, a new experience, and not a drudge all the time. Oh, I better pray. I better bring up the family again. I better bring up my rebellious son and pray about him. I better go through my list. That is not what prayer is about. Prayer is far greater and bigger than that. But we should always be in that attitude ready. As we're told in Romans chapter 12 and verse 12, rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Continuingly steadfast in prayer. In other words, yes, there are times when it's not easy. And this is why we have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and this is why we have these supernatural languages that we can pray and intercede in. So even the Holy Spirit's taking over to help us. So how much more should we be faithful and ready for prayer whenever it's required or called of us? How much more? The problem is we don't believe those languages that come out of our mouth are powerful enough to be breaking down the forces, to be pressing in, to come before the mercy seat of God. We've still got unbelief in those languages that are coming out of our mouth, and that is what's so sad. If you speak in tongues through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that is divinely given to you. That is supernatural. That is bypassing your mind, your logic, your understanding. It's bypassing the powers of darkness and Satan himself. And that's why he attacks believers in this area. But we don't still believe it, do we? And that is our problem. You will find, if you take prayer seriously and you want to intercede and supplicate and so on, you will start to hear further languages coming out by the Spirit. You will begin to express words coming through that, where's this all coming from? Well, you don't try and understand it because it's coming by the Spirit. It develops. Very often when you take prayer seriously, you will find your languages developing as they come by the Spirit. Again, that is an encouragement. You see, an overcomer won't need to have a teaching like this today. An overcomer will say, praise God for this teaching, wonderful. But it is my experience. We won't need teachings like this to get us to be faithful in prayer. What is this teaching today? Should it be confirmed? If we love the Lord and we're obeying and doing what God wants us to do, we shouldn't have to be teaching these things. We can move on to much deeper and greater things. There's so much more the Holy Spirit wants to teach and show us. But sometimes we still can't get past the milk of the word because people are not listening to it. They're not praying it into their lives. And this is why sometimes we can hold up other members in our church because of my lack of interest, my lack of consecration, my desire not to learn to go on. I'm holding up my brother and sister from hearing greater truths in the Word of God. Have you ever thought that? Have you ever thought you could be a hindrance? Why the teaching isn't going deeper? I've thought it. I've questioned it in my life. Because I don't want to hold up my brother and sister. I want them to learn everything that can be learned and taught in this life through the Word of God. Not only that, I want them to experience it as well. And God forbid that I should be the hindrance to that. And probably I have been. That's the truth of it. But at the end of the day, what do we really want? Are we going to be open and honest with God? Lord, teach me to pray so that I can not only be a blessing to you, bringing the kingdom of heaven on earth, but also a blessing to my brothers and sisters. That's how you grow as a body. We're still hiding. And this is the problem, isn't it? It's the same problem when Adam and Eve fell. The moment they took of the fruit of the tree, they hid themselves. That's what it did. And so the Lord asked, "Where are you? We were afraid of you." Where did they get that from? How did they get that into their mind? That's what sin did. It's what sin always has done and always will do until the Lord Jesus Christ finally puts it down. Sin always causes us to hide. But you cannot hide as a Christian from God. For we all stand naked before him. And as I've said so many times, this is what God was trying to do with Israel. Come before me. Come, let us talk, let us agree, let us bring it out in the open. And this is what we try and help you with our teaching, to help you from stop hiding, stop running away, and to be able to face God and come before him and to bring it all out before him, because he knows everything. He knows every secret sin. He knows every thought. He knows it all. So there's nothing you can say before him's going to shock him. There's nothing God hasn't heard. There's nothing new under the sun. So why is it we hide? Why is it we run away? Why is it we hide behind our religious hypocrisies when he's there to try and deliver us? He's trying to clothe us. He's trying to restore and bring us back into that fellowship that we lost, that Adam and Eve lost. He never gives up on us. But we have to make that initiative. We have to take that first step because God has already taken that first step. How do I know? He gave his son. He offered him up. That is his gift to the world. That is his first step to mankind. Now let's take our step toward him as well. The foolish thing is, and we believe the devil's lie, is that we run away from him. As I've always said and I'll continue to say, if you have sinned, no matter how you feel, whatever your emotions, whatever, deliberately determine to run to him with every might and fibre in your being. No matter how great or bad the sin, I will run to my God and I will talk to him because I am desperate. I have need of him. I have sinned badly. He will not turn us away. That is not in his heart. It is not in his nature. It is Satan who tries to keep us out of the presence of God so that we become more oppressed, more condemned, more guilty. And that's what the world is held by today. One of the good news of the gospel, the good news of salvation is I can run boldly into the presence of my Heavenly Father because he has provided for that sin, that rebellion in my life through the blood of Jesus. But brothers and sisters, this is where a prayer life is needed because a prayer life helps you to keep healthy and whole before God. And that is why the enemy probably attacks the Christian more with their prayer life than anything else. I wonder why. Because it's there you commune with God. It's there you pour your heart out to him. It's there you listen to him. It's there where he deals with us. There is nothing like prayer for the Christian. That is why we're told to go into our closet, close that door, and it's between you and God. That is the most intimate relationship you can have with your Heavenly Father here on planet Earth. When we get into glory, then all will be revealed. Christians are crying out for intimacy with God. But sadly, a lot of them just do not see it. They're so caught up in the world. They're so busy in their churches. They're so caught up in religious activities. As I've said many, many times, the most busiest Christians are the least spiritual. Of course, there's a place. There is responsibilities. But what are our priorities? What are we putting first? That is the question. Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Can I suggest to you what all these things will be? What is incorporated in that is your relationship with your Heavenly Father. What could be added to you greater than that? Than a close, intimate relationship with Almighty God. Because if you've got that, everything else flows from that. All your needs, everything, things of this world, the lot. Yes, he even gives you that supernatural time to have that time with him. If you're a busy parent, you've got children, or you're working hard, you work long hours. It is supernatural when you put the kingdom of God first, because then everything is given to you to maintain that fellowship, that unbroken fellowship 24/7 with God. Don't ask me how he does it. He just does it. Because he's a miracle working God. I know I'm proof of that. There are times sometimes when my head goes on that bed, that pillow at night, and I just say, Lord, what you did today was complete miracle. It was supernatural. I can't work it out, but you enabled me to be able to put you first, the kingdom of God first, with all the requirements, all the pressures of life. I don't know how you did it, but you did it. That's how we should be walking with God. Not held down and fettered, distracted by so many other things. There's so many distractions around us, and it gets worse and worse. And yet he said, if you put me first, everything else will come. Why does God say this? Why does he do this? Because God, we're told in the scriptures, is jealous for his glory, for his name. And he's jealous over you, and he's not going to share you with any other lovers. He has loved you from the foundation of the world. You have always been there in his heart. You were chosen. You didn't choose him. He chose you. You are his property. You belong to him. And he isn't going to have you searching for other lovers and idols. The same as if you have a husband or a wife. You don't want that relationship. You don't want that wife or husband going for other lovers. That is a terrible thing to have to live with in a relationship. And it goes on, sadly. Well, how much more with Almighty God? And yet we do it. God, have mercy on us. And he is full of mercy and grace and forgiveness. But brothers and sisters, it's time to grow up. God wants sons now in these last days. He wants men and women that he can call friends. He wants men and women who are reliable, who are faithful, who are men and women of prayer, who know what it is to pray, to supplicate, to get in spiritual warfare, and to take authority over the powers of darkness. That is what he's looking for now in these last days. There's too many babies in churches. They just don't want to grow up. They're still bickering and arguing and fighting amongst each other. There's a remnant going forward now. And she's called the bride. And she's making herself ready. Because she's caught the vision of the last day, the end time vision, the call to overcome, because she has seen the Lord Jesus Christ is coming soon. Those wise virgins are getting that extra anointing oil in their vessels. They're paying the price. They want that relationship with God. They want this prayer life with God. Because there's going to come an hour when this will start to divide. There's going to come an hour when the wise virgins will be seen and they are going forward. And the others will start to ask, can we have some of that? Where did you get it from? They're going to see they're lacking. And you can only point them back to the Word of God. You can only point them back to their closet, prayer, intercession, which I did. We've got too many in our churches procrastinate. We've got too many in our churches where they're still relying on other people to do the praying. Husbands, don't rely on your wife to do the praying. Because that is a big fault in the house of God. I've noticed in my ministry over the years, many times women seem to be much more open and receptive to pray, but to try and get brothers, men, oh, that's a different thing. We have to all wake up to this. Because Jesus said, my house is a house of prayer. And prayer is the key to overcoming. Prayer is the key if you want to be a wise virgin in these last days. Let's make no bones about it. You've got to be honest before God. Maybe some of you just have to say, Lord, I don't like praying, but I see it is important. Please put it in my heart that I may be a man of prayer, faithful to you. You may just have to say that. Just be honest. In fact, a lot of us probably don't in our flesh want to pray. Who does? We can think of a million other things better to do. But it'll only work when you ask the Lord. We have to ask the Lord for the right things. We've too long asked him for the wrong things. Let's get our priorities right. Because if Jesus prayed through the night, or he got up in the early hours of the morning. Do we think it's going to be any different for us? Not at all. We deceive ourselves otherwise. He's requiring it at times from us as the Holy Spirit leads. Our life is to be consecrated for prayer. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. There's a huge amount in that verse if we look. We'll just quickly go over it. It says praying always. In other words, being in the attitude ready for prayer. I'm ready 24/7, Lord. Whatever it takes, you're greater. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. I'm ready. If you want me to pray or supplicate, or if it means I've got to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm ready to do it. We're ready to pray anytime, anywhere. That's what he wants. And if you don't want that, then get in your closet and ask God to put that in your heart. And if you really want it, he'll do it. Because that's the only way you grow, brothers and sisters. And he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So much of it is in the Spirit. Going beyond the mind, the intellect. Just praying it through. Many times it's just supplicating before God. That supplication very often can be appealing to the mercy seat of God. Lord, have mercy over this rebellious country. Have mercy over my son that is on drugs. Have mercy, whatever it is. It's supplicating, it's pouring out by the Spirit, so that the mercy and grace of God will move and answer that prayer. Why, we're told, aren't we, that God pours rain on the just and on the unjust. But he does that as we supplicate, as we pray for our governments. Most of them are in rebellion. We pray for our nations. We pray for the West. I mean, the West is turning more and more pagan. I mean, that isn't rocket science to see that. So we find ourselves praying, supplicating for God's mercy on these things. Praying this in the Spirit. Being watchful. So the Holy Spirit will cause us to be watchful in order to be able to pray these things. We're all called, in a way, to be watchmen of these last days. To be on our guard. To be looking ahead, to be able to see where most of people can't see. If God doesn't reveal it first to the church and the prophets, then God help us. But because he does reveal it first to us and ministry, that is why we're able to pray and supplicate. That means that God has enabled us to be able to be one step ahead of Satan and the powers of darkness. That is why most of our praying is warfare. For that very purpose, we're praying in warfare, binding up the forces, because God has enabled us to be watchmen, and we've been able to see and have one step ahead of Satan. How many of you thought that one? But that's what it is. That is why we pray. That's why we get into warfare. That's why we take authority over the powers of darkness. Because being watchmen, which the church is, God's enabled us to be able to see that before Satan. Because once he sees it, I tell you, his army, he's got them well trained. They're there ready, armed, to do their foul, demonic work. And yet so much of the church is asleep to this one. And he says, to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. It means we've got to keep with it. Because sometimes it takes a time. Sometimes we feel, oh, nothing's happened. It doesn't look as though the prayers have been answered. Don't believe that. Don't believe that lie. Press in, press in, press in. Because all the while you are praying, supplicating, spiritual warfare, you are pushing the powers of darkness back. Preparing the way of the Lord. Cleaning the land. That's what it's about. And if the church can't do that, then God help us. And finally, brothers and sisters, let's turn to Matthew 26. Matthew 26. And verse 41. Matthew 26 and verse 41. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And that is why you have got to get real before God. That is why you've got to talk it out with him. That is why you've got to stay in his presence till his hand touches you and changes you. For that very purpose and reason. Because he says, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. And this is the key to it, because the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Be careful today, as you've heard this word, because we hear the key to this. He says, your spirit is willing over this word. And we know that because there's been some positive responses and some amens. And praise the Lord for that. We always thank the Lord for his word. We give him all the praise and all the glory. But there's also the other side to it. But my flesh is weak. And that is where you have to talk it out with God. Because your flesh is weak, that is why you have to come before God and agree with him. Be in harmony with him. You need his power, his strength, because your flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And brothers and sisters, those wise virgins, the overcomers, are very, very aware of that one. And they no longer hide or run away from that. They have faced it full on. That in my flesh there is nothing. There is nothing good whatsoever in my flesh. My life is a walk of the Spirit now. And that is the difference. And the only way you will get that deliverance, brothers and sisters, is when you humble yourself. When you bow your knees in his presence. Lord, have mercy on me. My walk has been up to now a walk that is stimulated, motivated by the flesh. And it brings no glory to you, anything or anyone. It is nothing but a hindrance. From now on, I want my life to glorify your name, because it is a life and it is a walk of the Spirit. And when you settle that, then God will start to open your eyes and you'll start to begin to experience that cross that you too are to take up daily and to follow. You don't have to crucify yourself. The Holy Spirit will find those trials, those things that will crucify you. Jesus didn't have to put himself on the cross. They put him on the cross. And it'll be exactly the same for you. But when the cross is in your life and the trials that you're going through, you're seeing that's the cross working. When death comes, then you will experience the resurrection. because that is what we're all crying out for. That is what we want in our hearts, our lives. It's that resurrection we're wanting. The same as resurrection brought deliverance for our Lord and Saviour. Hallelujah. Only the Holy Spirit can empower this. Only the Holy Spirit can recreate this in our lives and in the church. Because brothers and sisters, as I close now, your prayer life as an overcomer will only glorify God when you draw your life, your strength, your guidance, your power, everything, when you draw from the life that dwells in you, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, the fullness of God himself, when you draw from that life that is in you, in your heart, then you would begin to know what it is to be an overcomer. If it is still in your own strength, your own intellect, your own reliance, you will never, ever overcome. You've already failed. There's no point even going on. You've got to stop. And you've got to go in your closet. And you've got to sweat it out and settle it, just like Jesus did when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. He had to sweat that out. He had to settle that in his heart before Almighty God in his flesh. And once he had finished, the cross had already done its work. Crucifixion was already established. He had won the victory. He simply had got to go and enact it. It's the same type of way God works with us. We have to come to the death. We have to come where we give up. We totally surrender. We let go so that God can take over. If you still want to be in control, then it will not work. You have got to totally let go. And you know what? You will find that God will take over. I'm going to remind you again, before we close, of the vision that God gave me years ago, where I saw these puppets on a stage. And they were all working, manoeuvred by strings, cords. And then I saw these scissors come and was snipping away at these puppets. And finally, there was one string holding each of them. And when the scissors cut the last cord, I almost gasped in the spirit, because my logic said they're just going to fall lifeless to the ground. But you know what? It was anything but. The last cord that was cut, they suddenly became alive. No longer manipulated, controlled by strings. Man trusting in the arm of the flesh, always running to man in fear. That's control over our lives. They are those cords, those strings that pull us, manipulate us. Is that how you want to walk your life? Or do you want those divine scissors of God to cut away till you are finally free? Because the word of God says, if you know the truth, then the truth sets you free. This is deliverance. This is liberty. This is freedom to us, brothers and sisters. But death has to come first, then resurrection. May all of you have a blessed week and walk in the spirit, not in the flesh. The Lord be with you when you go out and when you come in. And above all, be blessed. Enjoy the Lord. Enjoy his fellowship. Enjoy walking with him. Because the gospel is good news, brothers and sisters.